call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
What a surprise. Greetings. It's the automatically deleted husband, and it was really hard today. It was really, really hard because, you know, Chris doing his sales stuff, he was traveling and he was near Dayton and so forth. And while he was waiting, he had a little while to wait to meet somebody. So he walked at a particular place. The path up to Buzzard Point, kind of like, ugh! So yeah, and then he called me from there, and guess where I am, kind of like, ah, gee, all right, because, you know, but, you know, he didn't go that far, but still, it was, anyway, that was the fun part of the day. But I needed to decide, because I think I need to do something this weekend, and it's kind of, I need to decide yes or no. And it's in reference because I've kind of got an outline for doing a video. And my experience is when I'll write a script out, so publish that, you know, and do the video and put it on places, you know, especially Brighteon, YouTube, BitChute, because experience in the past is that, you know, when I did something and I had Project Veritas in the title, I got 1,000 views. So my guess is if the working title, quote, Sound of Freedom, quote, Wag the Dog, coincidence or intent? I've had a couple interactions on this. You know, I've done a little more study. There are people who are questioning the veracity of the story and so forth. And it does seem from you know, the fact checkers are just simply twisting facts. Most of them, because it does seem that the storyline is quite solid, quite accurate, and so forth. There are issues. The biggest criticism I'm hearing that seems to have some merit is the criticism of the organization itself. But which obviously is, gee, is that what I would be doing? You know, there is that underlying hint that it's going to drive people one direction or another, because apparently the prime mover to motivate the original funding of the operation was Glenn Beck. So there's the clear Mormon tie here, including from my guests, because they're in Utah. So that's going to be either something that will draw people yes or push people away, which, you know, is an interesting scenario. Obviously, I have a good friend who's a Mormon, so, you know, it doesn't push me away at all. But at the same time, you know, we disagree theology-wise, but, you know, so what? You know, you don't abandon friends because you disagree. You cross that T, but you didn't dot that I. So, you know, but it is a fundamental disagreement, granted. It doesn't mean you stop dialogue or friendship. And you know, there's the Genesis Apologetics did a video, and in one place they had a music clip in there that was superb. It was a Mormon group, and I don't think, as far as I can tell, they're not, the organization is not Mormon at all, but they sang well, you know, and it wasn't a overtly Mormon song. It was a Christian song. So, you know, it's that's why I have In Christ Alone sung by the Brigham Young University choir. They did a great job. Anyway, but again, we disagree fundamentally on foundational principles, but that's a whole other issue. But, you know, one of the things I'm getting from is, is this excessive, my position yesterday, my position the day before. So in the information is, and I would suggest that it's very easy to sensationalize. That's absolutely true. And especially to get on something and I'm going to run with this because of, you know, whatever, it just sounds cool and whatnot. And clearly you can do it with this. But the issue is, do these things actually happen, and are they that big of a deal? Obviously, I have over several years done numerous videos on slavery. So it's not just a whim. It's something I've studied. It's something I've studied. So, you know, I'm aware of this. And, you know, when I look at the generally, we'll put it, let's say, corruption and so forth that I've seen, been literally involved with, some of it is fairly minor. For example, I did one contract software with a medical company in Birmingham, and it was a short-lived project, a few weeks or whatever. I don't remember how long it was. It was a few weeks, and it included traveling. I took a plane somewhere, Philadelphia or something that I don't remember. It's been a few weeks, but I did this, and I did the work, and it was kind of like, this is so trivial, and the amount of time I spent doing other things, and then I was over. Thank you. What I saw in that was simply, I was brought in as a consultant in order to spend money, apparently. Yeah, because I was high paid, and did something that was so trivial. I was paid thousands upon thousands of dollars for this. And, you know, what I saw in that is, we've got to, it really is, there's a fundamental aspect, we have to spend money. We have the money, we got to spend it. And I think that's what I was involved in that case. But I have done some, you know, other medical organizations and two others. And it was, again, consume time and money. Don't be efficient. And it was, you know, one of them especially was ripping me apart and saying, what we're doing is so stupid. And I was told by the Christian recruiter that got me the job, they want you to waste time. And, you know, it really bothered me. You know, it's because it was theft. And it's that you shall not steal thing. It just bothered me. But, you know, and then there's the, there are other things and whatnot. But, you know, there is, when I was involved in an organization that was involved politically. And in this case, you know, it was not, we're trying to get a local dog catcher put in. This was presidential politics. And of course, there's the evidence that they were directly involved in stealing the election, Bush stealing from Kerry. And as I've pointed out previously, because I was there years after the fact, but the character of the people, especially of one particular person, I said, wait a minute, there's a problem here. There's a real problem here. But the overall tone, you know, and things of that nature, we're doing the right thing because those other people are bad. And then as I looked at the data structures, it's kind of like, this is plausible deniability. This is done for a purpose. And when that hit me, it was kind of like, and then later to find out about the allegation of the presidential election theft, it's kind of like, yep. You know, I don't have direct evidence of it, but the mechanics are absolutely in place, you know, beyond question. Obviously, the other would be the military thing. And you know, there is the proximity of the nodal event, you know, and, you know, that one, the collateral murder. But also there is, you know, I've done a good bit of study on that. And, you know, history from, you know, World War I, World War II, mostly. I haven't studied as much of the Civil War, or sometimes called the War of Northern Aggression. But, you know, because it really was, a war of aggression. But, you know, the point is, what I saw in not only the event I was directly in proximity to, but the culture that I was in. And then you study, as I've pointed out before, the fundamental ideas. Those people, you know, again, as I pointed out, it was, you know, the Nazis, the Krauts, you know, because this way you can kill them. You can't kill a German person, but you kill a Nazi or a Kraut, or you know, or a Gook in Vietnam, or whatever. And then, of course, you know, the current thing that I've heard many times from lots of people in Ukraine, those other people are animals, and we can kill animals. I mean, I've heard this directly stated. This is not hard to find. So it is that same kind of mentality. You have to look at other people and make them less than human, and therefore you can abuse them, kill them, whatever, vile things. And, you know, so getting into, as I pointed out, you know, my history was, you know, pro-life, then black-white, then slavery did indeed show up. I've had contact in the drug trade. You know, most of it's periphery. But, you know, and of course, the one that I find the most humorous, and again, at this point, it's humorous, is because I have a good friend who was, you know, spent, what, 7 years as, you know, convicted cocaine dealer. And I'm not talking about the guy who sells it on the street. I mean, he was part of the, you know, because the fascinating thing is that his trial, because he was like, you know, secondary of this group, and the trial happened at the same time, the same courthouse as the DeLorean trial back in, was that 70s or 80s, whatever, you know, same place. So, and then of course he spent years, and you know, he's my friend. I've picked him up from prison and done things with him. But that's more humorous. But then of course, again, obviously I've been with people who are users and things of that nature, and have some other relations. But so you can see the culture, and the thing you can see when you, because one of the things that's happened is the barrier between those who are, oh, we're polite churchgoers. You know, when you drop that barrier and able to interface with basically anyone, you know, when you get shed the coat and tie and, you know, grow the ugly beard, that really has allowed me to interact with people that 20 years ago I wouldn't. But you can see a couple things. One, you can see where there's the marketplace, not only for drugs, but for other things, such as sexual indiscretions. And then you can see, one of the great ways to see this is the lottery. Because people go, because obviously the store where I buy my water from, they sell the lottery tickets there. And that seems to be a huge part of their business. Because every time I'm there waiting in line, the person in front of me is frequently buying a lottery ticket. It's constant. And I'm sorry, if you have no clue whatsoever about basic statistics, yeah, buy a lottery ticket. You have some basic clue. It's stupid. I mean, it's really, really stupid. If you have a public education, you know, that's why you go buy lottery tickets, because you don't understand how you it's stupid. It is just fundamentally stupid. But when you see that in the culture, because, you know, when I worked with the game industry, the coin-operated game industry, which are the same people who run the lottery business, you know, the big players, Bally, and when I took my trip in the 1980s to Chicago and so forth, some of the people I talked with was Bally, because, you know, they are the bigger player. I ended up with the number two player at that time, Taito America, and we had the contract and so forth. But there's a culture there. You can see it's, we need to suck from people funds, a little bit of funds. It's the same mentality because it's the same people who are doing the lottery and so forth. So, and you know, that's one of the reasons why I had to get out of that industry. But what you see in the medical, in the military, in the political, in the lottery and all this, there's a similar culture in the drug industry. There's a similar culture. And when I did the stuff on slavery, it became real obvious that, you know, for me, one of the big areas, again, is cocoa. That's why, you know, the modern-day slavery from cocoa to sex. The cocoa industry is huge. It's a huge part of the slavery industry, you know, as well as things, you know, because cocoa has sustained, it's been going on for decades and continues to go on because you make a little fanfare and then it goes away and they're still doing it. Whereas some of the other areas, the lithium, the cobalt, and so forth, you have the strip mines that come in because it's far more efficient to mine things using those techniques. But a lot of times after they're gone, people come in in order to do what they don't even understand what they're doing, to mine by hand and so forth, where otherwise it was abandoned. This is fairly common, apparently, in all these industries. And, of course, it destroys people. But a lot of the people who are doing that are people who on their own initiative, they're the entrepreneurs. But a lot of them are the entrepreneurs that are stealing people to use them. So it is slavery. But the issue is there's a... I don't think that's going to last because, again, the strip mining techniques are far more efficient. And so I don't think they'll compete well. And so that's an up and down thing, whereas the cocoa industry seems to be quite stable as based on slavery. But the other area, you know, it's true with fishing, mining, you know, the brick industry, the begging industry, which is obscene. But the other thing, obviously, is the sex trade. Textiles also is a big area. But the sex trade is huge. And that's the all-encompassing thing because it's not just, I want to go have sex with a young kid kind of thing, which is, you know, there's a problem there. But you know, so you have, there shouldn't be a market for the first place, but obviously it is being done. But it's not just people going having sex. And it's not just organ harvesting for, I want your kidney or your liver or your heart or whatnot. There's a lot of far more gruesome things that are going on. So it is a big deal. And unlike, for example, there's the possibility that the cobalt mining stuff will diminish because more efficient ways will come. And so the slavery stuff will probably just diminish. That's a real possibility. Sex and organs and whatnot, body parts. I don't see that as something to diminish. I think it'll continue to grow. So I do think, as I pointed out yesterday and the day before, I think all 3 days, there are people who Operation Underground Railroad has indeed freed. And they've done the dramatic. But the more I research it, the best way to put it is they're extremely inefficient. And as I described, they're sucking the air out of the room. And I think, for example, in the cocoa industry, Nestle was pointed out, hey, look, there's a problem here. So, what we're going to do is we're going to set up some schools and whatnot within the Ivory Coast in order to help these kids. And they set up some schools and abandoned them. So they put up a false front and then did nothing about it. But that salved the conscience of people. And I'm afraid that may be kind of what happens with this. Plus, there is the simple fact, the sex trade industry makes a whole lot of money. So does Operation Underground Railroad. Because they're extremely inefficient. They had a quite successful, box office thus far. And the weekend is about to start. So thus far, they've made a whole lot of money. I think I saw like 14 million or something of that nature. A popular opening, whatnot. And it's the flash. It's like, and I would suggest it'll be like that. The article I've referenced a few days from now. Don't let it stop. And I think what'll happen is it will. So the question I've been debating, because again, I have an outline. Sound of freedom, wag the dog. Coincidence or intent? Do I do that? It's from what I read. I think both sides, the people who are saying this is, the naysayers. One is related to the right-wing conspiracy theorists, or you're feeding them kind of thing. And those will say, what I would do is, aha, see, it is conspiracy. They won't get it. People who are saying, but we want to endorse this, and you're criticizing. Don't criticize the organization that we want to endorse. And, so it's a lose-lose situation on that point. But if somebody says, the point you make, yeah, I can, because apparently, it's been a really big fundraiser. If people say, wait a minute, they're raising funds. And as again, the numbers, $30,000 to $40,000 to impact a child. What does it mean? That doesn't sound very efficient. And if there's somebody on the table who says, look, maybe with $30,000 or $40,000, we can bring something to the table that people make money with and free people for, like I say, maybe $100 a year. Gee, is that more efficient? I'm not the marketer of this, but is this the thing I should do? And I don't know. Would that open the door? Because the people I deal with, people I've interacted with, there was one gentleman I interacted with in a city far away, I mean several states away, who was doing something to support the Christian community. We'll just leave it at that. We had some interaction. And, I brought up, how about this aspect? Is this an aspect that is this obedience to Christ, the technique you're using? Because I was questioning something and it was a fluff response and then silence. And I'm afraid that's the norm. No, I don't want to be fluffy. I want to follow Christ. It's when I was very active with pro-life stuff. There was a lot of people, let's throw some money at this. I highly respect and still do the pregnancy care centers and what they do, because that's the ministry to people. But in the political ventures and whatnot, there were a lot of people. I actually, in a sense, I think, you know, there's a couple of people who've gone out and shot abortionists. That's murder. No, I mean, you can't justify that. But in a very, you know, weird sense, I have more respect for them than a lot of people who are saying, oh, let's rally some money, form an organization, and then we can make ourselves look good that we're trying to be pro-life. Operation Rescue. I don't think they did the right thing, but at least they were willing to be very aggressive. I have more respect for that than, again, let's vote Republican. No, I'm sorry. That's flimsy. Let's make a movie based on a lot of fact, apparently. Apparently it's a pretty accurate movie. But then we're going to use that to embellish it to the max and turn it into an industry by itself, and we're going to maintain our inefficiencies. And again, I didn't think of this before, but in a sense, they're a paramilitary organization like the Wagner Group, in a very real sense. You know, not quite the same, but because I think you know, the technique is inappropriate. Yes, there are places where the way you free somebody is you got to hurt somebody. Again, I think I would have a lot more respect. I did the thing years ago, Lot, Levite, and the Yazidis. The way the Yazidis, they went after to rescue their own people. They were basically Operation Underground Railroad in northern Iraq. And I don't think they needed anywhere near the money, nor did they get anywhere near the fame. But they rescued kids. Percentage-wise, they probably had a whole lot better recovery rate and a lot more bang for the buck. And that's what I'm afraid is happening. I have a friend who is an admirer of, not a follower of, but an admirer of the Latter-day Saints, the Mormon Church, and so forth, because of their economic model. You know, they don't carry a debt load, because they basically are the bank. They have a huge amount of financial resources, and so they have the wherewithal to do a lot of things economically with a lot of prowess. And I think that's what we see in Operation Underground Railroad. It's that same kind of thing. But just because you have that facade and that prowess doesn't mean you're effective. As, you know, enough. I have to decide. Sound of Freedom, Wag the Dog, coincidence or intent? I have no definitive answer. But if I had to choose, my guess is intent. That doesn't go over well, does it? I am both studied in and involved with low profile, medium profile, and some high profile things that were less than appropriate. And I understand how you can. You know, one of the most dangerous organizations is the NSA, which is the most, you know, I'm aware of the CIA, done a little study of it and so forth, and, you know, the Cocaine Import Agency and so forth. But for what I do, I'm far more familiar with the NSA because their techniques and their and what they do, and of course familiar with several whistleblowers from the NSA. Their techniques of what they do, you know, the gentleman, he was late 90s, I think, exposed room 641A in San Francisco. You know, again, the irony of it is that room was roughly a mile away from the room where the whoever it was, Office of Special Services or somebody at that time, you know, back, you know, World War II time frame, pre-World War II, were tapping the lines. You know, this is a physical wiretap of the embassy, Japan's embassy in San Francisco. And so we knew, we were monitoring the traffic between you know, Tokyo and their embassy and so forth, as they, you know, so when they sent the message to that was relayed, that would then be delivered to the White House, you know, just before the declaration of war, but before the bombing of Pearl Harbor, there was this stuff that was generated. Before that stuff happened, we already had it in hand because we had it decrypted and translated, because we had the technology to do it back then. We knew it was coming. And roughly a mile away is room 641A, and I think it was AT&T or whatever building. You know, and you know, you see this room, and there's the door, and there's no handle at the door, and things of the nature, because behind that door, at the time, was the NARIS system, which was the machine that would suck up all traffic going through that building, and you know, that was the carnivore system that was 90s, and it expanded and so forth to a variety of things, and now. There's, I forget the number, it's several dozen places like this throughout the U.S. and many more around the world that are sucking up the you know, communications traffic, simply bringing it, taking a duplicate of it, and sending it to the Utah data center, speaking of Utah. And the San Antonio data center, and the Fort Meade, Maryland, and the donut in the UK. It's still happening today. It made a splash when the Utah data center was being built, and when it got turned on, it was a news event, whatnot. But just like so many of the things, it's no longer in the news, and it's still sucking up data as fast as it can about everyone, every phone call, where you are, and so forth, all those things being gathered by your government to protect you. But it's no longer a news item. My suggestion will be this weekend, maybe for another week or two, Operation Underground Railroad will be a news item. 6 months from now, the sex trafficking will be just as strong, if not stronger. And I suggest the better way to fight it is the ecosystem model, not the guns and knives model. But who am I? I'm just the guy that gets abandoned by everybody. So clearly I don't know anything. I'm just the guy that tries to look at the scripture as a reference. Gotta avoid people like that. And I did read a comment apparently from Tim Ballard, you know, the main character, the actual guy, when he talked about the, I saw where he talked about that line that I've mentioned, where he had the conversation with his wife that you see in the trailer. And she said, go rescue, go, you know, quit your job, go rescue the kids. He apparently said, it's basically accurate, except he called her, and what he wanted to hear, he said there was that cowardness in it. He says, abandon this, stop this, just stay with your. That's what he wanted to hear. That's not what he got. I'd love to hear that from my wife. Big time. My lady, my wife. I love you and I want you back.